This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, new method detects ancient stellar explosions, probing the black hole on M87, and giant bubbles on Betelgeuse. But first, in breaking news, it has been reported that the long-awaited eclipse of the star Epsilon Aurigae has begun. Most eclipsing variables are caused by two stars in orbit periodically blocking each other's light, but in the case of Epsilon Aurigae, the eclipsing object is thought to be a long disk of gas, possibly containing stars hidden inside the dense material. Spectroscopic observations by Robin Leadbeater, an amateur astronomer in the UK, have shown changes in the spectrum which could be due to the leading edge of the eclipsing cloud as it crosses in front of the star. If this is the case, then as the eclipse progresses, the star will begin to fade as thicker parts of the cloud move across our line of sight. Eclipses in this system occur every 27.1 years, and the star is predicted to fade from its normal magnitude of 3.0 down to 3.8 by the end of the year. Amateur astronomers interested in variable stars are encouraged to make their own observations and send their results to the AAVSO. Using telescopes high on the islands of Hawaii, astronomers have detected light from supernovae which occurred roughly 11 billion years ago, smashing the previous distance record for such objects. Led by Jeff Cook, a cosmologist at the University of California, the team used a new technique to look for the tiny change in brightness of a distant galaxy due to a stellar explosion. They were looking for the signatures of a class of explosion known as Type 2N supernovae, caused by stars between 50 and 100 times as massive as the Sun. These stars are different because they shed a large amount of material before they die. When the final catastrophic explosion occurs, the remaining material and the resulting shockwave plows into the surrounding gas previously expelled from the star, resulting in a remnant so bright that it is still visible many years after the event. Because these Type 2N supernovae are the brightest class of stellar explosion, they are the most likely to be detected at large distances. The normal method of searching for supernovae is to compare two images of the same galaxy taken on different nights and look for new objects in the image. While this technique works well for nearby galaxies where supernovae will appear relatively bright, it becomes increasingly difficult in more distant galaxies. Rather than looking at individual images taken on single nights, Cook's team took 5 years of images covering 4 separate patches of sky and stacked them together, creating 1 composite image per field for each year of observations. By comparing the brightnesses of each galaxy in the stacked images, the astronomers identified 4 potential supernovae. They then used the Keck telescope to observe the spectra of each of the candidates, using the light collected to determine the object's composition and distance. This follow-up work showed that 3 of the candidates were supernovae, 2 of which occurred more than 11 billion years ago, beating the previous record by 2 billion years. The results were published in the 9th of July issue of the journal Nature, where the authors suggest that using this method with planned synoptic surveys on 8-meter class telescopes could identify an estimated 40,000 Type 2N supernovae at this distance, as well as even older explosions caused by some of the first stars created following the Big Bang, probing stellar processes all the way back to the very early universe. Among the brightest and most energetic objects in the universe are so-called active galactic nuclei. These are objects outside the Milky Way, thought to be powered by material falling onto supermassive black holes in the centre of other galaxies. The process can create powerful jets, which can accelerate particles up to very high speeds and generate very high energy gamma-ray emission. Although astronomers have known for some time that these AGN are bright sources of gamma rays, they didn't know exactly where in these galaxies the high energy emission originated. But in research published in the online edition of Science magazine on the 2nd of July, a collaboration of more than 350 scientists has finally narrowed it down. High energy emission from the nucleus of the active galaxy M87 was first detected in 1998, and gamma ray outbursts have since been confirmed by the Hess, Veritas and MAGIC telescopes located in Namibia, Arizona and La Palma respectively. All of these experiments are gamma ray detectors which pick up this high energy emission but do not have sufficient resolving power to accurately determine the source of the outbursts within M87. Located 50 million light-years away, M87 is the largest galaxy in the Virgo cluster, and contains a central black hole 6 billion times as massive as the Sun. In order to determine the source of the gamma rays, the Hess, Veritas and MAGIC collaborations teamed up with astronomers using the Very Long Baseline Array, a collection of 10 radio telescopes spread across North America from Hawaii to the Caribbean, capable of a resolution of 1 million times greater than that of the gamma ray telescopes. By linking widely separated radio telescopes together, astronomers can synthesize a much larger telescope, resulting in images with much finer detail. Using all four of these instruments, Hess, Veritas, MAGIC and the VLBA, the team monitored M87 over 50 nights between January and May 2008. As well as detecting gamma ray flares, the observers also detected large flares of radio waves from M87. Using the VLBA's high resolution, they determined that these flares were occurring at the same time as the gamma ray flares, and were being generated in a region very close to the black hole, where material falling in forms a tightly rotating torus, known as an accretion disk. The observations show that the high energy emission is coming from an area no larger than 50 times the size of the black hole's event horizon, the area within which matter cannot escape from the black hole, roughly twice the size of our own solar system. Using state-of-the-art techniques, two teams of astronomers have obtained the sharpest ever images of the supergiant star Betelgeuse. The second brightest star in the constellation of Orion, Betelgeuse appears red even to the naked eye, and is one of the largest stars known, almost 1,000 times larger than the Sun. It is a type of star known as a red supergiant, and is so enormous that if it were placed at the centre of the solar system, its surface would lie almost at the orbit of Jupiter. Stars this massive run out of fuel much quicker than smaller stars like the Sun, and eventually explode as supernovae. There are still some unanswered questions about red supergiants, one of which is how they shed material. These stars can lose as much material as is contained in the entire Sun in just 10,000 years, but the mechanism by which this occurs is not well understood. But in work accepted for publication in the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics, two independent teams using ESO's VLT have made observations which might provide some answers. The first team used adaptive optics, which attempts to correct for the fluctuations in the Earth's atmosphere which makes stars appear to twinkle. They combine this with another technique known as lucky imaging, where only the sharpest exposures are combined to produce a high-resolution image, in a similar way to imaging with a webcam through a backyard telescope. The resulting images are so sharp that they could detect a tennis ball at the distance of the International Space Station. The team's images of Betelgeuse show a large plume of gas extending out from the star to more than 6 times the radius of the star itself, showing that it is not shedding material evenly in all directions. Meanwhile, the other team used the VLT interferometer, which combines the light from 3 telescopes, to produce an image with much greater resolution. Using this technique, the second team were able to indirectly detect features up to 4 times smaller than in the other team's images, allowing them to study the surface of Betelgeuse. They found that the gas in the star's atmosphere is moving up and down in giant bubbles, like huge convection cells almost as large as the star itself. Together, these two superbly detailed observations suggest that it is these large-scale motions in Betelgeuse's atmosphere which are responsible for producing the giant plumes of material. And finally, almost exactly 15 years after astronomers around the world watched as fragments of the comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 hit Jupiter, leaving black scars on the planet's cloudy surface, an amateur astronomer caught images of another impact on the gas giant. First imaged on July 19th by Anthony Wesley in New South Wales, Australia, news of the impact rapidly spread around the world. Within hours, several observers had confirmed the new black blemish on Jupiter's surface, and within days it had been imaged by the Keck telescope and NASA's infrared telescope facility in Hawaii. These infrared observations showed that the scar was warm, indicating an upwelling of material in the planet's atmosphere, probably caused by an impact. Even the recently upgraded Hubble Space Telescope was used to image the event, despite commissioning of the new instruments not being complete. The Hubble image was the first science observation carried out with the newly installed Wide Field Camera 3, and shows the instrument is performing well. The most recent images of the impact site show that the black spot is evolving and now contains two nuclei, probably due to the high winds and complex dynamics in Jupiter's dense atmosphere. By coincidence, another amateur astronomer, Frank Melillo, of New York in the USA, also spotted a new feature in the atmosphere of Venus on the same day. The Venus Express spacecraft in orbit around the planet confirmed that the spot had first appeared 4 days earlier. Observations in the ultraviolet suggest that this feature was not caused by a meteorite impact, and various suggestions have been put forward, such as a volcanic eruption or a concentration of charged particles from the Sun. But as yet it is not known exactly what caused it.